This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Third hour. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney. Hope everybody's doing well on this Thursday around the country, CBS Sports Radio. We're live from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. So, if you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. All right, I'm confused now officially about Dak Prescott here. I am confused. There's reports that he was offered the highest contract in the history of the game. Mm-hmm. And then there's reports that say he doesn't want that. He wants a one-year deal, bet on himself for like $45 million, which is insane. The answer is probably somewhere in between. I would gather that's usually how it goes. But I want to play this for my buddy Chris Sims. So Chris was on in Dallas, I believe it was the Fan in Dallas, and he was dishing on Dak's contract. Here's our buddy Chris.
From what I know of the situation, he's been offered 5 years, $175 million. He wants a 4-year deal. If they do agree to the 5-year deal, they would like a really big number at the end of that 5th year to kind of cover their butts for what the market might be at the position 5 years from now. And I've heard he's asking for somewhere like north of $45 million in that 5th year.
Okay. Yeah, that was 105.3, the Fan in Dallas. First of all, if Dallas offered Dak 5 years, 175,
mm-hmm.
I'd have to see what's guaranteed, obviously. But
yep.
On the surface, they're out of their minds.
Well, that's $35 million a year. That places him right next to Russell Wilson as the highest paid player in the National Football League. And let's be honest, BT, he's not worth that much.
Nope.
Right now. I know it's how it works in the quarterback room or quarterback discussion. Whoever is next gets the highest paid. We talk about this all the time, BT. But I just can't justify that if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, especially with some of the money that you have going out. And the idea, and I think about this, the idea, from based on what Chris Sims just said, that they want to protect, and this he was talking about Dak's agents. Dak's agents want to protect themselves if in that 5th year he's outperformed that contract and they want to pay him the going rate. So that 5th year, he'd want $45 million a year. That's why they're asking for 4 years, so that by the time he's, 31 or 32, he can now get another contract at the current going rate, which is going to be significantly higher. It makes sense because that's what you do when you're an elite quarterback. I just don't know if he actually qualifies as elite right now. He's very good. Mm-hmm. Never going to take that away from him. Not going to say he's not a winner and can't win. But he's not competing for the MVP every year like Russell Wilson or like Aaron Rodgers like previously was.
Mahomes, eventually with the money.
Yep. Like, he's not that guy
right
now.
No, he's definitely not. He's not that guy.
And the stats back it up. I mean, yep. His first year aside, he's 25-25 against teams above 500. He's not 25-25 touchdown interception ratio against teams over 500. He just hasn't been that good, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Against teams that it really matters other than that first year.
Here's the problem. And listen, I'm not arguing with you because I think you're right. But to be fair to Dak, or at least to be fair to the quarterback market, you look at Russell Wilson, $35 million. You look at Big Ben, $34 million. Jared Goff is a little bit below that, $33.5 million. Aaron Rodgers, $33.5 million as well. Kirk Cousins, $33 million. Those five names on that board. I mean, mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's one of the best that I've ever seen. So is Aaron Rodgers. So forget about them. Big Ben's a Hall of Famer. Are you telling me that Dak isn't better than Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins bet on himself for 3 years, and so his number is what it is because he bet on himself for 3 years.
And
it was based on the franchise tag. He risked it for 3 years on the franchise tag and then signed a short-term deal that protects both him and the organization that he's with, right? Plus, they've gotten deep into the postseason every single season with Kirk Cousins.
But Dak was also better than Kirk while Kirk was betting on himself.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, right? At the end of the day, you have to look at it in the vacuum of who Dak is right now, and Dak hasn't done that. I mean, you can even say Jared Goff. Jared Goff is grossly underpaid. Jared Goff was in the Super Bowl 2 seasons ago. So whether
you mean overpaid?
Yeah, overpaid.
You got
what,
you. Yeah.
What did I say?
Yeah.
Did I say under? Whatever.
Yeah, no, I know what you. I just want to make sure.
Whatever you believe about Jared Goff, he was in the Super Bowl a couple of years
ago. But who would you rather have? And I know that it's not a simple. It's not. Let me ask you this, and you say this, and it's even. I understand that there's nuance. I get that. But just to boil it down to the simplest nut here, if you're a GM, and I'm going to give you three options for the next 5 years, I'm going to give you Jared Goff, and I, understanding it's not the perfect model, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, or Dak. Who are you taking?
Kirk Cousins.
I'm going to take Dak.
I'm taking Kirk Cousins. Not even thinking twice about it. I'm not even thinking twice about it, DT.
Third for me.
Why? He's a way.
I don't think he's that good.
He's proven he can win, but it's not about how good you are.
But it should be.
It's can you win? Can you put your team in position to be great?
Has Kirk won?
He's gotten to the postseason. He's gotten deep into the postseason, you know, with the Minnesota Vikings. They've beaten the Saints 2 years in a row, and the Saints were the best team in the NFC for the last couple, like the half a decade.
Saints
the best
are overrated.
It doesn't matter. They're 13-3 and 14-2 and should be going to the Super Bowl, you know, save for one, two, or three things that are happening. And the Minnesota Vikings have been in position and beat them, right? So that matters. It matters about winning. It doesn't matter about skill. If you're going to put Drew Brees up against Kirk Cousins, not even close. They're not even on the same planet, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but he wins. And at the end of the day, what has Dak won? He's 6-17 against the top five, over 500 teams over his last three seasons, BT.
Yeah.
He's almost in that, like, Matthew Stafford category. And that's not fair to either one of them, but that's the reality. Do you win? When the game matters, when it's down to, like, nitty-gritty, and you have to be a leader, you have to make that play, is he doing it? And the answer to date has been no. And so does he want, you know, $32 million over the next couple of years? And, you know, we're going to do a 5-year deal because it protects us in case you stink and we need to cut you? Then that's what they have to do from a Cowboys standpoint. I get why Dak wants to be the highest paid because that's what the quarterback is supposed to do. I got to protect my brother and I got to get more than the guy before me got, which is nonsense.
I don't have a problem with that.
I do because when I look at other positions that don't get paid because the quarterback, it turns out to be, you know, not worth it. I have a problem with it. It's why Jared Goff is saying, I'll give back some of my money. Yeah, I know we're compromised right now. We have to cut every good player other than Aaron Donald on our squad because I'm making $100-something million. I'll give some back. I want to win. I respect that more than I respect the guy who's trying to, you know, break the bank in his fifth year. I mean, come on, dude. Win something, and then we'll talk about how much you deserve.
All right, I love the passion.
I love it.
All right, but I got to tell you, I think that you're severely misrepresenting who Kirk Cousins is.
It's not about Kirk Cousins.
Hold on.
You use Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins has won.
But that's not true. You keep and you use the word win several times. Kirk Cousins is 44, 42, and 2.
Yeah.
What has he won?
But he's gotten deep into the postseason, BT. That's what I'm talking about. He's gotten there, and he's beaten teams that he's not supposed to beat. Look, I like Kirk Cousins. I'm not saying I would take him to be my quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
But given what Dak has done, which hasn't been a ton.
He's been better than Kirk Cousins.
Given what Jared Goff has done and what I believe he is, Kirk Cousins, to me, feels the most stable. And that's just my view of this.
Mm-hmm. Stable, define stable. What does that mean, stable?
Meaning I know what he's going to give me every single weekend. Yes, he'll have an erratic game here and there, and he did. And Stephon Diggs got on him, and they got in a screaming match. From that point on, he was pretty good. Period.
He was. By the way, I put him on the periphery of the MVP race last year. I kind of inserted. I don't dislike Kirk. What I'm getting at is, you know, And again, it's a team win, it's a team loss, unless a quarterback, you know, throws six picks and you can say, really, you really are the reason we lost. I get it. And there's with football, there's more nuance in football than any other sport. And I'm not even trying to get to the top of the mountain to shout to the high heavens that Dak is a superstar. But I think you got to be a little more fair to the guy. He's won a lot more games than Kirk Cousins. Look, that's a fact. It's a fact.
And he has not won games against teams he's supposed to beat. That's also a fact.
Yeah, that's a fact,
and
too.
And at the end of the day...
But neither is Kirk.
At the end of the day, I'm maybe it's because I'm tired of seeing quarterbacks exponentially grow their number. And nobody else can.
Okay.
Nobody else can.
I got
and
you there.
Just because Russell Wilson, who is a superstar and maybe one of the most disrespected players in football, is making $35 million a year, you, Dak Prescott, who have been good, certainly not great, now want $45 million if you have to sign a five-year deal? It doesn't make any sense, man. I mean, I get it. I get why someone would negotiate that. But if I'm the Cowboys, why in the world would I do that? Why would I put my trust in a kid that I don't fully actually trust right now because he hasn't won that big game? And that's the battle the Cowboys are facing right now. They view him a certain way. They view his value a certain way. I'm sure the deal is going to get done. They want 5 years to protect themselves. Dak wants four so that he can capitalize on the other side and protect himself. Mm-hmm. And it's just it could get ugly. That's all I'm saying. And it looks like it already is.
And it's that last point that I totally agree with. It's unrealistic. It's irresponsible in a lot of ways, at least based on the skewing of the team finances. If it were to have, if the Cowboys were dumb enough to acquiesce to this, which they won't, the $45 million request for that last year, their team is done. He's going to be rich, but they're going to be bad because they won't be able to disperse it around. I give you that for sure. Those are two totally different conversations. The whole, you know, I was just curious where you stood with Kirk and Jared versus somebody like Dak, but the notion that, you know, he is unrealistic in his expectations. I totally agree with you on that. I do. But now the question is, all right, it's not going to be this complete recalibration. He's going to get 30-something, so now I'm going to ask you this question. What is the big damn deal if it's 32.5 or 35? Like, outside of the $2.5 million, literally, what is really the difference?
It's all about structure. You know, it's all about can you get away from it if things don't turn out the way that you want. And, you know, you look at the Amari Cooper deal. It's a $100 million deal. They can actually get away from it pretty quickly if in 2 years he's not what they think he should be. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the structure of this contract needs to be that way with Dak Prescott, mainly because they're paying so many people such exorbitant salaries right now. Zeke and Amari Cooper and then eventually Dak Prescott.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
They're paying these guys such, you know, these high salaried deals that you hamstring yourself so you end up being stuck for 5 years, and that's not what you want. You got to have some flexibility, and if you put on the back end that you need $45 million in order to make it a 5 year deal, you're not getting out of that anytime soon because part of that's going to have to be guaranteed at least over the course of the 5 years.
Got another question for you. So as they allocate their funds the way they have, and we just ran through the names and who's making the big loot here. Just as a general premise, because they may have been a little over overcompensated certain players, a little overzealous in assessing some of their players. Like, I wouldn't have given Cooper that money, you know that. But if I'm Dak,
I actually don't mind the Cooper deal at all.
Well, because they can get out of it. I hear you. It looks worse, 100 mil. I hear you.
No doubt. They can get out of it after 2 years, man. I mean, seriously, it's not that hard.
I just don't think he's a top 10 or top 12 receiver. That's
one,
it's less 100% about the money.
Agree.
That's all
100% agree.
But, Teek, if I'm Dak, right, so it, like, and I'm literally asking the question. I don't know the answer. Why should I have to reformulate and change my business approach because you paid other people?
Because he wants to win. Does he want to win?
Wait, or
does
but he, before or, you win, you got to set up your life.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Did Tom Brady do that?
I mean,
I'm just asking.
But that's different. Come
did,
on,
Giselle, did Eli? Did Eli? Did Eli same. Manning do that? I'm just asking.
Did Eli?
No, he didn't. He didn't get paid until after he won a Super Bowl. I'm just. We know how this works.
But Dak.
We know how this works.
But Dak has made peanuts. Eli was the first overall pick. He had millions coming in from day one. Dak hasn't.
Dak is.
He got to get paid.
Dak is making $31 million this season.
But I'm saying up until now, he's been paid a mere pittance to be a starting quarterback wins.
Up until now, he was fighting his draft grade. It is what it is. It's not fair, but it is what it is. People viewed him as a fourth-round draft pick, so he's going to get paid fourth-round money until he proves that he's not. And now he's proven that he's not. Question is, how much is he worth? Isn't it worth sacrificing, the ability to keep other talent because you're going to pay your quarterback to be the highest paid player in the National Football League when he's clearly not the best player in the National Football League? That's the question. Could there be an argument for Russell Wilson being the best player in the National Football League?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Could there have been 2 years ago an argument for Aaron Rodgers being the highest pick? Exactly. Is there an argument for Dak Prescott to be the best player in the National Football League?
No, of course not.
And the answer is no. So he shouldn't be paid that way.
But nor is there an argument for Kirk Cousins.
I know that the quarterback position is this way. Yes, but Kirk Cousins gamed the system. And this is why I have so much respect for Kirk Cousins, because he did something that most people are not willing to do. Put themselves on a plank and say, I'm going to stand right here on the edge, right? You can push me and I'm dead in the water, or I'm going to stand and hold my own. And he did that year after year after year. Even signed a 3-year deal, dude. Who signs 3-year deals?
A guy who doesn't win that much.
A guy who's willing to bet on himself because he trusts that he can win and bet on himself. Right? Dak Prescott doesn't think he can win. He's not going to bet on himself. He wants to set himself up for the future and then craft his deal based on the finances 5 years from now as opposed to what he's actually worth right now. And that's just, I don't know. It's bad business to do that. Maybe the Cowboys do. We'll find out. But that's a big-ass number he's talking about at the back end of his deal.
I'm feeling fired up Tiki today. I like fired up Tiki. I like this. I like this rare version.
Just keeping it real.
Tiki's lathered up today. That was great.
Just keeping it real.
I hear you. That was awesome. Good stuff, Tiki. I like that a lot. That was good. So if I ask you in summation, because we're going to break here, this will be done before July 15th. So, because if it's not done, for those who don't know, he's going to have to sign the exclusive tender, which I think 31-5.
31-5, yeah.
Does this get done by July 15th or no?
I think it does get done. But I think it's going to be a short deal. And the Cowboys want 5. I think it's going to be 4 years.
Okay. All right. We will find out. Great stuff. Let's get a timeout. Donnie Edwards will join us coming up next. Former linebacker. We'll talk to him, get his thoughts on some of the young quarterbacks and some of the trends around the NFL. Tiki and Tierney. Dak, he has been in the news for months. And he hasn't thrown a pass. Months. Get the contract signed. I'm tired of talking about it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports.
When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. And if your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Or when you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. It's 1-855-212-4CBS. Sponsored by Geico here on Tiki and Tierney. Hopefully everybody's having a good Thursday. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. We've got the blast coming up a little bit, and good stuff on Dak and the contract. Obviously, things are getting a little tense down there. Eventually, he's going to have to sign or not. Teague, we're joined by a former Pro Bowler, linebacker, defensive player, 8 years with Kansas City, 5 with the San Diego Chargers. Donnie Edwards, talk a little shop. Donnie, Teague, and Tierney, how you doing, buddy? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you guys doing?
Good,
hey,
man.
We are good,
pleasure.
Donnie. Great to chat with you. And really, I want to bring up what you're doing with the USAA. around Memorial Day, because this is awesome. I actually need to go check this out myself. It's poppyinmemory.com, and it's about digital tributes to fallen military members. Tell us a little bit about this. I lost my grandfather. I obviously didn't know him. In the Vietnam War, and my mom talked so fondly about him, but I never had a chance to meet him. Tell us a little bit about this, because it's amazing. Giving what's coming up in a week, a little under a week or so.
Yeah, this is a very important holiday for me and for all of us. I don't know a more important American holiday than Memorial Day. For me, Memorial Day is every day, and talking about your family member who was killed in action, you can go to Poppy in Memory and do a digital tribute for him. And it's just a way to bring awareness and honor to our fallen. And, working with USAA on this campaign to bring awareness and honor to the 645,000 Americans that paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms is something that I truly believe, military has been in my life since I was born, especially living here in San Diego with our military bases here. So many family members served and over 10 U.S. soul tours around the world. It's just something that I really, truly believe. And it's a great way to, especially during this time of the coronavirus, to bring some gratitude and some recognition for the freedoms that we have.
Yeah. No, you.
And why
you,
we have them.
Yeah. Were you personally, in fact, have you lost someone in the military since you've been alive and aware?
Well, I've known of no personal family members was killed in action.
Yeah.
But I've known quite a few. So I'm paying tribute. I'm going to be going to Poppy in Memory and paying my tribute to Major Ray Mendoza. He was killed in action November 14, 2005 in Iraq. I just want to make sure that he's never forgotten. And awesome. We always remember his sacrifice.
Yeah. That's awesome. That really is.
It's poppyinmemory.com, just for those who want to check that out, because I know a lot of our listeners will gravitate to that. Poppy, P-O-P-P-Y, inmemory.com. That's awesome, Donnie.
That's great. I used to sell those in Little League, man, to get up a little money. We used to do that. And Mr. Donahue was my coach. He was a veteran, and he used to wear it inside of his baseball cap. And when you're, 7, 8, 9 years old, you don't know what it means. But obviously the symbolism is phenomenal. That's a great initiative, and that's Donnie Edwards. So I want to ask you this, Donnie.
It's
fourth
so important.
Round.
Sorry. It's like, it's something that I truly believe. For me, Memorial Day is every day for me. It's every day because I think about what I have. Having the opportunity to be born in this country, to have the opportunity. I live in San Diego. We have a lot of people that come from different countries. They go through deserts with nothing in their pockets for one thing, and that's just opportunity. Mm-hmm. And we're born here in this country. We have all the opportunity that we have in the world. We just got to work hard for it and go for it, and you can achieve anything. And I never forgot that. So I'm truly honored to have the opportunity and the freedoms that I have today. And, since I retired, I started Dust Defense Foundation. It's a way to honor and recognize our military. And I just truly, truly believe it. And I want to make sure that we continue to push this because it's so important. Especially right now, we're thinking about there's no sports, right? So that's been taken away from us.
Yep.
Imagine if other things were taken away from us.
Like
that's
liberties,
the freedoms that we're used to.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you put into perspective, think about the 645,000 that paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms and that we have in this country.
Now, listen, your passion for this is as authentic as I've ever heard. I mean, it's screaming through the phone. And Teague told you the story about his grandfather and my family. I lost somebody this was way before I was born, but in the Korean War. And trust me, we all feel the same way. So it is awesome. I do want to ask you a couple of football questions here. And you were a fourth round pick, 96. As I mentioned when we introduced you, Donnie, first 8 years with Kansas City, then San Diego. You get drafted to Kansas City, one of the coolest environments, coolest stadiums, great fan bases, win or lose, they're always there, see a red, phenomenal. And I wonder, what you think, because you can answer this, what the Super Bowl meant to the average Chiefs fan, that all these years, getting there in the early ones and not winning, finally winning the Super Bowl, what do you think it means to the Chiefs fans? You played there.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. I mean, everybody felt like they were a part of that. I mean, that's a great thing about Kansas City. The team, the organization, and the community are one. I mean, it's so so different. And it just, I'm so blessed and so lucky to be part of this family. You know, it's the organization, the city that brought me in at the 23-year-old rookie and brought me back after I left the Chargers in 07. You know, it's just wonderful. And I'm happy that I had a chance to, you know, to be there at the championship game and at the Super Bowl.
Nice.
Feel a little bit of it, you know, and yeah, I'm really grateful and so happy to bring that trophy to Kansas City, especially for everything that the Hunt family has done. I mean, Lamar Hunt, I mean, God, rest in peace. I mean, yeah, I'm so happy, and this is great. You know, it's for every fan, because we've been clawing and fighting for 50 years. So this has been wonderful. I'm just, God, I just love saying world champions, Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, though, because you live in San Diego now after finishing your career, at least spending the back part of your career there. And I wonder, the Chargers have left. They're now in Los Angeles. What's up with the fandom? Like, it's like they're in purgatory, the Chargers, right now, because they're L.A., but the base is in San Diego, but they really don't want anything to do with them. What's up with the Charger fan, and who is the Charger fan right now?
Well, the true Charger fan is the one, like myself, you know, who's been a Charger fan since 1973. You know, it's a Charger fan, you know. And as you know, Tiki, cities change, business happens.
Yep.
Like the Rams moved from St. Louis to L.A. And, I mean, that's business. That's what happens. Unfortunately, if you're a true fan, I mean, you know, go with your team. You know, the guys that wore that uniform, right? So when I was growing up, Dan Fouts, Charlie Joyner's, like, that's what I love, you know. And you know, and unfortunately, you know, there's some things that we can't control, and you have to just, you know, stay with it. So, but it's a highly, you know, it's highly, you know, contentious here in San Diego. But yeah, so it's interesting.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And staying on those Chargers, they, you know, drafted Justin Herbert. Tyrod Taylor is a little bit of a journeyman at this point. He's brought in, interestingly, to be like the mentor for young players. We saw it with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. Now he's going to be that to an extent here. You know, when you think about this Chargers squad and their ability to try to win, I'm going to use this word loosely, but win Los Angeles against the Rams. Can they do that?
Well, you got to win, and that's what it comes down to. You know, when you're winning and you're hot, everybody wants to be there. Everyone wants to be a part of it. And I think L.A. is a great city, you know, to do that. It's a huge city. I mean, in New York, you have a couple of teams out there. I see no reason why it cannot work in L.A. And I think the way you get more fans is by winning, by putting together a string of wins and, you know, and changing that climate out there. So it's up to them to go out there and get it done.
All right, man. I don't know if there's Teague. I don't know if there's a better voice for our veterans than this gentleman. I mean, Donnie Edwards crushed it. I mean,
he did.
It's awesome.
PoppyInMemory.com. It's a great initiative. Thank you, Donnie. We appreciate.
Yeah,
you,
no,
man.
It's wonderful, and I'm really thankful for USA. You know, this year I was the NFL Salute to Service Award recipient, which has been wonderful for my efforts, and I just hope that, you know, with that we can raise more awareness for our mission at Best Defense Foundation, and what we're doing to honor more veterans. So it's important to me, as you can tell.
Yeah.
I'm pretty passionate for it.
Keep fighting the fight, man. You got a lot of people next to you. That's for sure.
Yeah, we got to do it, you know, for sure. Thank you, guys.
You got it, Donnie.
Thank you, Donnie.
Very much, buddy. Donnie Edwards, 8 years Kansas City, 5 years the Chargers. All right, T, coming up next here, a baseball legend calls out the direction of the game. Is he right? We'll hit that after Axe update, which is right now. Here's Rich Ackerman. Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Get connected on CBS Sports Network as we bring you big names and big surprises. This week, Tracy Wolfson catches up with Muffet McGraw and Bobby Huggins, Huggy Bear, along with some other unexpected Zoom visitors only on CBS Sports Network. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, we didn't get to the Cam Newton stuff, so I have that written down. We'll circle back to it after we blast away. You ready to roll?
Yep, let's go.
Okay.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, we start with new Texans wideout Brandon Cooks, who joined the NFL Network, and he has some high expectations for Houston this season.
We have so many special guys in this room that can do it all. You know, one of the biggest things that I've always thought as a receiver, when you're stacked on a team with multiple receivers, you have a better chance of, winning consistently and going far, because you can never just key on one guy. And I think that unselfishness in the room that I feel from the guys already is going to do, do us justice in the long run.
That's what you do when you lose DeAndre Hopkins. You convince yourself that you got better. Do you expect the Texans to be even better after trading Hopkins?
I'm not so sure that they're going to be better skill position-wise. They may be better as a team, but I can't even say that. Right, I like Kenny Stills, but not to be your number two. And you know, Randall Cobb was good in Dallas, but he wasn't breakaway special.
And Will Fuller,
we really like, but he can't stay healthy all the time.
Every year.
I can't co-sign that, man. I'm sorry.
There's no way. I look at this here and I say, okay, between the four teams of the South, the Texans, Titans, Colts, and Jaguars, I think they're the third best team. I think the Jaguars, I know things could change. You don't win or lose on paper. I get that. But in terms of talent, there's a disparity seemingly. Jaguars seem to have the least amount of it in the division. Yep. And I would say, the Titans, I love what they did a year ago. They brought the pieces back they needed to, et cetera. The Colts are really good or really interesting. I think they're the third best team. Like, could they finish second? Yeah. I'd be surprised if they win the division. I don't think that's going to happen this year. All right, Teak, moving on. Pats running back Rex Burkhead told WEEI in Boston earlier this week that he was, quote, very impressed with Jarrett Stidham last season. Is this a case of what else is Burkhead supposed to say? Or could Stidham actually be the real thing? You got to toe the line. Number one, not everybody's Leonard Fournette, who's out there telling the whole free world to trade for a quarterback or get a quarterback because basically the one that you have isn't good enough. Even if he didn't really say that, that was kind of implied with Gardner Minshew when he was touting Cam Newton and Jameis. But I think that, in the case of Burkhead, when you're with certain teams like the Pats, you are, especially a guy who could be cut like that. He's a fine player, but he's not special. So he's got to always toe that company line here. Of course he's got to try to find the right balance and say the right thing. I'm not saying Stidham can't be decent.
Agreed.
I'm not buying the hype. I got to see him play a little bit.
I got to see him play. And what is Rex Burkhead seeing him play? Run the scout team? You know what I mean?
Hey, Zoom. He's looking good on Zoom.
Maybe he was fantastic on the scout squad last year, but...
Zooming.
You can't know how good a player is going to be till they are actually doing something with consequences on the line. I think he's just paying lip service the Patriot way, which is smart for Rex Burkhead.
All right, last night, Chipper Jones, Hall of Famer, joined our buddy JR Sports Brief right here on CBS Sports Radio and said he doesn't like the direction the game is headed.
It's all or nothing. Starting pitchers go out there and give it all they got for four or five innings and turn it over to a bullpen that's specializing in one inning. You don't see the fundamentals practiced all that much. Pitchers can barely get down bunts anymore. You're certainly not asking one of your position players to do that. The hit and runs, the straight steals. Everybody's sitting back and waiting for the two or three run home run that's going to break the game wide open.
Okay, pretty poignant stuff there from Chip. We've had on a bunch. We love him. Is Chipper Jones just disgruntled, the former player, or is he actually right?
I think he's right, BT. The fundamentals are lost a little bit because you're specializing on other things. And when you mean specialize, that means that's all you practice. That's all you pay attention to. Uh-huh. You think about the old school starter. In his mind, he was going nine innings. And nowadays, because of analytics and metrics, it's like, all right, I know I'm going to get pulled after my second time through the lineup, so I might as well give it all right now. It's just a different game. I don't know if it's necessarily bad. It's very different, and it's creating specialization and lack of diversity, which when it comes down to it, that's what helps you win. When you can be malleable, like when you can change and move into somebody else, a lot of teams can't do that anymore.
I think you're right. I think Chipper Jones is absolutely right. And it's not just, the guy whose sun set on his career and, he's getting a little bit older. Oh, my generation was better. His generation was better.
because his generation was more fundamentally sound with the explosion.
Yep.
You know, Chipper came up as a shortstop. People forget Chipper, you know, wound up ripping up his knee early, you know, at first base. His knee exploded. I'm not sure if he'd ever get it back. He obviously moved to third, played the outfield. Chipper Jones was an elite athlete as a kid, elite. So he understands the burst and the dexterity and the athleticism required. And even the components of the game that just drag on. I mean, everybody's swinging for the fences.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, there's shifts. I mean, there's a lot to complain about, and I try not to do that. I try to appreciate what's in front of us rather than lamenting what's not. But, you know, call it a spade. Chipper Jones, he nailed it. He's absolutely right. All right. You know, we talk about how every Major League Baseball team is over $1 billion in valuations. Well, billionaires not paying rent. The Oakland A's reportedly failed to make a $1.2 million rent payment that was due on April 1 because of the lack of revenue that they've generated due to the coronavirus here. So is this going to become a common occurrence around sports? I don't think so. No, my answer is no. That's a very unique situation. I mean, let's face it. They've been trying to run away from that place. They were trying. I remember when the plans in San Jose, you know, 2011, 2012, really into the mid-2010s, that's kind of dissipated a bit. I don't think that's going to happen. Now they're looking at other parts. What's that? Landon's document. What is it? Is it Landon's doc? Whatever it is. But
that sounds right.
I think I might have that wrong, but it's something like that. I know where it is, right on the water, not far from the stadium. The point is, they've got a horrendous relationship with the city, Alameda, and they're making no money. And I still don't see how a professional team doesn't cut the rent check.
Yeah.
But I think that this is an isolated incident.
This is a common occurrence in life for Americans who aren't paying rent, and businesses that aren't generating any income. They're not paying rent. But I don't think this will be common in professional sports, because they value the relationship with their landlord, so to speak. This is almost like the A's saying, "All right, evict us. You know, give me a reason for Major League Baseball to have to put us somewhere else." You know, it almost feels like they're, "I dare you, tell us not to come back home." And guess what? We won't.
Jack London Square, by the way. Jack London Square. All right. How about this? Rockets GM Daryl Morey told Colin Cowherd earlier this week that he believes that they would have beaten the Warriors in the 2018 conference finals with a healthy Chris Paul. Were the Rockets the better team that year?
They were playing better at that point, BT. So could they if Chris Paul was healthy? Probably. But that's the knock on Chris Paul. That was his championship, or at least his opportunity for a championship to get to the NBA Finals. And it felt like if that was a year, that was the year for the Rockets. And they missed it. And I don't know if it's coming back.
It was so weird, too. It seemed like such an innocuous injury from Chris Paul.
It was like a hamstring.
It was
definitely
funny.
I remember you saying, like, next day or 2 days later, he's not going to play again. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. As much as I am, not I will say anti-Rockets, but I've never been a believer in the Rockets all these years, even when they're, you know, at their apex and they're seemingly in title contention. I've never bought them. But this is something I could probably get behind here. I don't know if they were the better team that year, but that's not always synced up with being in a position to steal the series, which wouldn't have been grand theft, by the way. It would have been a misdemeanor, larceny. Like, I mean, it would have been like taking a candy bar. It would have been stealing a little bit, but they were, I mean, that was a series. That was really a good series, and we'll never know. I give a puncher's chance. If Chris is healthy, they may have won that series, yeah.
Time's up.
Time.
The blast is over for another day.
Cam Newton. Now, listen, any professional athlete can put a little video out there, as he did, and edit it. And, you know, obviously you throw certain throws on the route tree that, will show things off that you do well. This is a little different because he couldn't really throw the ball past 30 yards the last year or so. He was flinging it downfield pretty well. He's always going to look good without a shirt. That was some other pictures. He's obviously jacked up. The guy's a specimen. What'd you see from him throwing the football, though?
Nothing, really. I mean, nothing that I didn't expect.
Is he better than Kirk Cousins?
No, I mean, it doesn't even matter, right? Because it's like Cam Newton is – I think his issues are part health, and so it's good that he's showing that he's healthy.
Yep.
So I get that part of it. But it's also part, what role are you willing to accept? And, you know, if you come in and are outperforming a guy who we really want to see, but we're not going to give you the chance. So, you know, the best player in your mind's not on the field. Mm-hmm. How are you going to handle that? And there's no intel on that because he hasn't ever been in that position. It's just there's so many variables with Cam Newton. I do think he's going to sign with the team. And, you know, the Steelers are the team that I've kept saying the Steelers seemingly have no interest in reaching out to Cam Newton if Big Ben is not healthy. But I think, you know, a team like the New England Patriots, who we were just talking about with Jarrett Stidham, if they get, you know, into camp and it's like it's not going well, mm-hmm. maybe they reach out to Cam and bring him in. But the opportunities, they really seem limited right now. Everybody has their starter or yep. and or their backup and pretty solidified in most places right now. It's getting – I mean, I don't think he's not going to play this season, but I'm almost not going to be surprised if he doesn't play this season.
I mean, he's got to be – tugging at his collar, that old song is getting hot. Yeah. In here. It's getting, yeah. I don't have a team.
That's right.
You know, the one thing that's interesting about the Pats is that I would actually really like, just from a fan's point of view, mm-hmm. to sit back and watch that relationship if he's fully healthy. You know, to see what McDaniels can scheme up, totally different from what he did with Brady. You know, to see what Belichick's influence in terms of ball security. He's gotten better at that anyway. But yeah. just, you know, to play, and Ron Rivera was a very good coach too. But to get into that element, I would really like to see that. The problem is, though, you know, if I'm the Pats and that's like a thought that's on my radar, like a real yeah. possibility, why would you mess around and not sign the guy? Like somebody yeah. can swoop in and
take
him.
Honestly, the reason I believe, and I'm extrapolating this from things that have happened in other places.
Yeah,
the Pats offense is very, very complicated, and it's hard to teach and it's hard to learn. And so, because Cam has never run an offense similar to this, mm-hmm. they probably think he can't learn it. In fact. I get this from the firing of Chad O'Shea. Remember Chad O'Shea,
yes.
who was the offensive coordinator yep. down in Miami, well. Who was only there for a year. He got fired midway about week 14 or something like that. I believe he made it be seen that he was going to get fired, and it was because he was trying to install this like complex New England Patriots offense, and the Dolphins weren't ready for it, and so they fired him and they bring in Chan Gailey. So it'll be really interesting to see if he could go learn it, because we've talked about this many times, BT. A lot of people go into that offense and mm-hmm. they just never get it. Like good players go into that offense and they never get it. Not at the quarterback position, at the other positions.
Receivers we've seen yep. for sure.
What if Cam can't get it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, you know, in 20 or 30 seconds, we're out of time, though. Like, to my eye, it seems like a very basic offense, those little shallow crossing routes and yeah. pseudo picks. Can you explain what makes it difficult?
I think it's the terminology. It's the positioning. So the quarterback tells everybody what to do on every play. You know what I mean? The
yep.
offensive line, this is your blocking scheme, whether it's turn or you're straight up, whatever it may be, your gap responsibilities, your wide receivers, you have, you know, these, you know, different iterations of the same stuff. Right. You know, Gronk or not Gronk, whatever, tight end, you're in this role, but I could switch you because I see a mismatch. I'm going to put you outside instead. There's a lot of moving parts in that offense, even though once the ball is snapped, it looks simple.
Okay.
But it's the setup, which is the complex side of it.
Diagnosing before yes. getting into it.
That's right.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Good stuff. Good show today, brother. Looking forward to tomorrow. We'll wrap up another strong week. Good stuff today, Teak.
Agreed.
Yep. If you missed anything, radio.com, Apple, iTunes. Have a great Thursday night. Teak and I are back together tomorrow, Friday. Remain safe, remain sensible, remain sane. Enjoy your Thursday night, and we will catch you tomorrow. Peace. Gotta go. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.